Our sponsor for this podcast is Dunder Mifflin, supplying all of our paper needs. Limitless paper in a paperless world. Hello, I'm Melissa, and I'm here with Emily Rankin, a famous historian. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
This is What You Need to Know, and today we'll be telling you what you need to know about the ancient Hebrews. I know some of this topic as well. I know that the ancient Hebrews were around from about 200,000 BCE to about 200,000 CE. And they had a golden age of 100 BCE to 2000 CE when they fell. The Hebrews also lived in modern-day Israel, but that is really all I know about this topic. So Emily will be telling us what we need to know. Let's talk. So, Emily, what were some significant aspects of civilization in general that ancients had?
So most of the significant aspects that we have studied from civilizations that are ancient are the social classes, writing, religion, government, and job specializations.
That's pretty neat. What aspects of the ancient Hebrew civilization will we be focusing on today?
We will be focusing on the ancient Hebrews' religion, trading, and the woman.
That is pretty cool. I can tell religion because I know from prior knowledge that Hebrew is Jewish religion. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is really cool. So what was their religion anyway?
The Hebrews took part in Judaism and they worshipped only one god.
And what was the god that they worshipped?
The god they worshipped is the one and only transcendent God who revealed himself to Abraham and Moses and the Hebrew prophets. So that is God as we know today.
So is he pretty much just the same God, just different religions took it in different directions off the branch?
Yes, because Judaism was like the beginning of it all.
What type of traditions did these have, the Hebrews have? Did they, like, celebrate, like, Christians are very into, I think it's Christmas, and they have things like that, so do the Jews have stuff like that?
Well, we're not exactly sure. A tradition that they did have was an Israelite tradition, and the Israelite tradition was identified by Yahweh, and that was the God of Israel, and it's also said to be one of the forms that God himself, like, was made into and, like, actually made into a real person, and they actually, like, you know, talked to him, per se. And that's the really only thing about it, is that their tradition was just sticking to one God and really filling out, like, what that God wanted, like, when Moses brings forth the promised land. So
you're saying that Yahweh was? He was the form that he turned into?
Yeah.
That he came down to earth, per se?
Yeah, and they said that that was the God of just Israel himself.
That is really cool. I'm learning a lot about religion. We're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors. Do-do-do-do-do-do! Dunder Mifflin, limitless paper in a paperless world. Go to our website to figure out more about what we're selling. Now back to the show. Hello. Now we're going to be talking about trade, because I've heard from other civilizations, like the Egypt, places like those, they do a lot of trading with other places, and that's been from the beginning of the time of everything. Trade has, like, been a basis, correct? After the nomadic period.
Yes, because especially at where they are in particular, most of these ancient civilizations
have a nice place to go.
We're in the Fertile Crescent, so that was a really good place for trade.
So who did they trade with in general? Do you know some of these people?
Yes. The Hebrews would trade with Vikings, China, India, Egypt, and lots of northern places.
Northern places was a main, like, point for them?
Yeah.
Was it, like, an easy pathway?
I would say mostly, yeah.
What did these Hebrews trade with these northern places?
They traded silver, textiles, grains, leather, metal, cedar wood, and other raw materials for building.
So would they, raw materials like stones and wood, stuff, clay? Would clay count?
Yeah.
That's cool. What did the Hebrews get in return for these important things?
The Hebrews would mostly get spices. They would get gold, salted fish, ambergris with the Vikings. That's where they got it from. There's a lot of other things like perfumes and jewels, pearls, porcelain, and that came from mostly China. And then there's oil, copper, and iron, and horses, too.
So one question, you said something about ambergris. What is that? I've heard it's like a perfume of some sort, is that right?
Oh, yes.
Yes? I don't think I even said that. Ambergris? Is that how you would say it?
Yeah, or some people might say grease because Spanish, it means gray in Spanish, but I don't really think it's linked to that.
That's cool. Learn something new every day. It's what I need to know.
Uh-huh.
Now, last question about the trading. How did they trade? Like, did they trade? I mean, obviously, they can't trade through cars yet, like planes or whatever.
So, the Hebrews created small villages along their trade routes with synagogues so that the merchants could rest along the way, and then they could trade with people that lived in those areas without risking, like, traveling long distances at once.
So, I'm getting that most of these trading was really long distance walking, probably the horses that they're trading. Okay, that's pretty cool. Now, we're going to go back to our sponsor. Goldfish, the snack that smiles back. Goldfish, back to your program. Hello again. That was our sponsor, Goldfish. Snack that smiles back. I should probably say that again. If you get it, it's really tasty. I have it with lunch every day. So we're going to talk about the women, because you said that was important, correct?
Yes.
And I had some people go through our Twitter account and have some questions, so I chose 4 great questions about the women, because that seems like it's a topic that a lot of people want to hear about, because a lot of people hear about it. So this is from one person. What jobs did the women have?
So the Hebrew woman didn't necessarily take part in a lot of the jobs that men took in, because this is back when women were not seen as equal, mostly. So the Hebrew woman had the job of really keeping the household and taking care of the children.
Okay. So you kind of already answered this, but this was one of the questions as well, so I feel obligated to say it.
Yeah.
So were the women ever seen as equal in any way at all?
It wasn't as bad as you would think. It's not like they were really seen as, you know, the same amount as a slave would be looked at.
Uh-huh.
But in some ways, because the Hebrews were so religious, they were looked at as dangerous because they were known of distracting men, of course, from their tasks that they were given from God.
Now, that is an interesting way to look at it. I never would have thought of it that way. This is our 3rd question. Let's see. Are there any famous women in Hebrew history? I think this question is very interesting because you're hearing throughout the time more famous women, and I want to know if there was really any back then.
So the only truly famous women are small, memorable mentions from the actual Hebrew Bible, and one of the main ones would be Eve, which is the mother of all the living.
I've heard of her.
Yep. And the really only important famous Hebrew women after that were usually the king's wives, because they usually played a very important role in, like, the empires.
So there really wasn't any too many famous women. Like, here today you hear about, like, Amelia Earhart. People like that who just do these great things. There really aren't anybody specifically remembered for that back then.
Yeah, no. Back then they were not as open to letting women really take care of a lot of major things.
Oh. So we've come far away from that?
Yeah,
I would say.
We've evolved. Evolved, definitely.
Yes. So this is our final question about the women today, and that is if... This is an interesting one, actually. Wow. Did women believe in any different gods than men did? Were they, like, believing in this one god that men didn't believe in?
So the women followed around the same religion, but they did pray separately from the men. I'm not exactly sure why that reason is. Maybe they did have a certain different way of, you know, praying. Maybe there was a different type of I don't know, like, celebration that they went through while doing it. If a woman was given a sign from God or a task from God, either through, like, a dream or a sight while they fell asleep, they would never be in the forefront of public life. So they would never really get, like, the same type of honorable mention as, like, Abraham or Moses did.
So you would say that they believed in the same gods, they just didn't do it together. Okay, that's pretty cool. That's our three aspects that Emily seems to be an expert on. So now I just have a couple of questions that I was wondering. What questions did you frequently encounter while doing your research and learning all this stuff? Because the only way that knowledge comes is from questions. So what was, like, a big question you had?
Big question that I really asked myself was how do these people living in these times where they're near a desert, as you know, it's Israel, and back then, I know for a fact that there was a lot of droughts, and there was also a lot of rain in other areas, but I really wonder how they sticked so strongly to a religion and really felt that God that they prayed to would really be there for them and help them through.
I find that fascinating that people just believe so much, and it's so cool, and I wonder how they did that, because I know that for a fact they did go through hardships, probably.
Yeah.
So that's just really neat. What about these aspects, like the religion and the women, like, impacted their legacy?
I would really say the one thing that truly impacted the Hebrew legacy was their Judaism and, like, the religion towards how everyone evolved to today. Because you'll look at, you know, like, people that are Catholic or Christian, they all have that one belief in one God. And they all take part in reading the Bible, which the Bible does talk about Abraham and Moses and the Promised Land. And when the Hebrews were around in this main golden age, that was happening currently to them. They went through that process of, you know,
creating the Bible.
Creating,
yeah. The basis of the Bible that people took and interpreted many different ways.
Yes.
And I'm sure there are other people that contributed to that. So that's really cool. That's definitely a legacy, because I know even in my life and other people's lives, I have friends who are religious.
Yeah.
So I know that that's probably really impacted lots of people. So now I have one final question for you. What events or aspects of these Hebrews helped to shape our understanding of them?
Events.
Or aspects.
Yeah. The true aspect... Again, religion is one of the very strong ones with Hebrews. But
I think everybody would know that just from the name itself, because I feel like everybody, once they hear Hebrew, they automatically
and
connect.
And Hebrews are, you know, they're Jews, and Judaism covers, like, every single, like, Jewish civilization back then. So it was a really widespread religion, and, like, the woman got involved being in the religion, even though they prayed separately, you know, they still had that one main belief. And trading even might have been a little bit more religious.
Like cultural diffusion?
Yeah.
That type of thing? Like, because there's places that aren't going to be in that religion. They might not even have a religion, but they're going to go and trade with them. And we all know that when you go places, you talk to people.
Yeah.
So talking, that's going to come up. It's going to
spread
it.
Yeah, I'm sure that they have, you know, sold Hebrew Bibles to other civilizations. And just spreading that one main knowledge.
So are you saying writing is also a very good aspect for them?
Yes, writing was a very important aspect.
Because that's how they wrote down their Bible.
Yes.
Was their writing the same as ours is today?
Not exactly. Their writing was really based on pictographs and cuneiforms, and it was really... It was like... If you've ever read the Bible, you'll know that there's a lot of names, specific names that are usually Roman-based. They usually are, like, you know, the main center of a word. So a lot of it would be, like, there's a lot of religious, like, names and mentions that Hebrews back then probably, you know, knew off the top of their head. Whereas of now, if we really tried to remember
anything... We're not going to remember.
Yeah, we're not going to know.
Unless you're really dedicated like they were, you're not going to remember. You're going to remember the... Jesus, God, Adam, Eve, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that they can even remember that and recite that to people to teach them. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So, just a question that I have to ask, because copyright.
Yeah.
Where did you learn a lot of this information?
So, I went on to some universities' websites. I went to Oxford, and they had a lot of articles. Like, there was a lot of articles in general that were written specifically from historians themselves, other peoples that did just study, like, Jews and Hebrews, like, all
just
together.
Just specific parts.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I would like to thank you so much for coming. I want to thank Dunder Mifflin for making this all possible, because I know that without them, we're not going to have this beautiful facility to create this podcast for you all. I would like to thank my producers, and I would like to thank Mr. Webb. Thanks. He was my history teacher, and is my history teacher. So.
Sounds like a very smart man.
Yeah, he's really great. I love that class. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Without you viewers, this wouldn't be possible, because then Dunder Mifflin and Goldfish wouldn't want to sponsor us if nobody was going to watch us. So thank you. Keep listening. We'll probably have a new video within the next week, maybe about cooking or something a little different. Thank you so much. Can't say it enough. Thank you, Emily.
You are welcome.
And peace out.